Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Detective isn't necessary, fellas. Just Alvin will do. I'm long retired.
Then have a seat, Pike, so we can get the ball rolling. I'm Antonetti. This is Kraus.
Kraus and Antoinette. Well, I'll be damned. Post-war reconciliation is alive and well in Cleveland. Kraut and Adego can shed their uniforms and rise like rockets in the ranks. All we need is a Jap at the table now. Flash your cold shields, boys. Reassure this old man you are who you say you are.
You're gonna be an asshole, Pike. Your personal file don't say nothing about you being an asshole.
Fair and incorruptible. Courageous. That's the verbiage I recall. You could have wallpapered your house in accommodations, Pike. Not a single asshole poking its head up among the adjectives.
You have never been to my house and you never will. Don't mind me. Our brave new America is a nation of second-generation immigrants. I'm just the son of a dirt-poor hog farmer from southern Iowa, boys. I've still got pig shit on the soles of my shoes.
Coffee, sir?
No coffee for me, miss. Water will do me fine. Make it a tall pitcher with ice cubes, and I will try my damnedest to name my next grandchild. I'm sorry, but I can't quite read your name tag without my specs.
It's Mabel.
Mabel it is. A lovely name.
Cigarette, Joe.
Thanks.
Pike?
Filthy habit. Never did subscribe.
You mind?
You care if I do? Now, I appreciate the bus ticket and the voucher for the room at the Sheraton follows, but I spent the entirety of last night, and then some, with my haunches plastered to a bus seat as supple as a cinder block. Traversed nearly 800 miles of black-as-pitch farmland to look you both in the eye.
We've got questions.
I figured that part out. And we're meeting here and not at the Justice Center because why?
For lunch. The chicken pot pie is good.
Oh, the chicken pot. That's thanks for the tip. You two come by your glowering naturally, or is it part of some sophisticated interrogation technique?
Why do you think we asked you to come all the way back to Cleveland, Pike?
Because you crave scintillating conversation? Or to shoot the shit? Or to ask for my autograph? It's either Elliot Ness you want to know about, or it's the butcher. That's where any notoriety I might have begins and ends.
Both.
Then I'll be ordering that chicken pot pie and a side of peach cobbler.
And we want to hear about Gus Frayne.
Frayne's long buried.
So is Elliot Ness.
Yeah, but I didn't shoot him. What I heard, Ness dropped dead of a heart attack on his front porch going 7 years ago. Broke on his third marriage. Boozer at the end. Had he lived, he would have been famous all over again. What with Robert Stack playing him on television? You watch that show, The Untouchables? I never missed it when it was on the tube. I think you two would have liked Ness. Second generation Norwegian immigrant, smelled of pine and fjords. From a family of Chicago bakers or bread delivery men, something wholesome like that. It was yeasty, pasty white, sad gray eyes. Conversation is a two-way street, boys. I'm listening to myself talk here. I get that you want me to fill the uncomfortable silences I used that ploy myself back in the day, but I don't know exactly where you want me to start.
Start with Gus Frayne.
Fellas, I'll tell you right now, it was a righteous shot. I was cleared more than 25 years ago, and I don't much want to waltz down that particular old memory lane.
You killed your old partner.
I shot him, yes. I did not intend to kill him. Read the report.
He's dead. Died the day you put a bolt in his head.
everybody will be dead, eventually. Me included. Even the two of you. Back to life. The human condition.
All right, then. Let's start with the butcher. You were there at the beginning. From day one.
I was. That would be the Lady of the Lake. September 5th, 1934.
You remember the exact date?
I remember every damn detail about the butcher case. Whole thing was a waking nightmare 5 years in duration.
Go on.
Like I said, September 5th, 1934, I was sitting at my desk in the detective's bureau when a call came in about a possible body on the beach. Two uniforms were already on the scene. I remember it being a gray, cloudy morning with a serious chill in the air.
You're talking about a beach at Lake Erie?
That's right, Euclid Beach. Not the populated area either, where an amusement park is, but down where a narrow strip of sand, it slopes up to heavily treed land. Nothing down there, nothing but detritus washes up on the shore like driftwood. Trash, like what was left of the Lady of the Lake. God rest her severed soul.
There he is.
Detective Pike, over here.
Ah, hell, I've got sand in my shoes. Who found it?
A guy walking along the beach collecting driftwood.
That's him over there sitting on the log.
That guy, the miserable-looking hump wiping his nose on his fisherman sweater?
He says his name is...
Get all his information, okay? Verify he's telling the truth, even if it means escorting him to his front door, tucking him in his bed, and then cut him loose.
Detective, he was found smack in the middle of an active crime scene.
Look around you, copper. This is no more a crime scene than my old granny's parlor. The victim, or what's left of her, washed ashore. Hell, she could have been murdered in Canada or tossed out a crop duster soaring overhead. In all likelihood, that miserable-looking hump on the log had nothing to do with the crime.
Yeah. Okay.
The coroner wants you to take it to Lakeside Morgue.
Us?
No, not all three of us, you dipshit. You two. I'll meet you there.
The coroner's not coming out?
Find a tarp or something. It's not going to weigh much more than a Christmas ham. After you drop it off, I want you back here, looking for the rest of it. Of her.
Do you have your steno pad available, Miss Tuttle?
Yes, sir, I do. Shouldn't we wait for Detective Pike to arrive?
We can get started on the preliminaries.
Pardon me for asking, but should you be smoking in the morgue, Doctor? During the last autopsy?
That was unfortunate. I will watch my ass this time, I promise.
Then please proceed.
What we are looking at is the lower half of a human torso, severed at the waist. The thighs are still attached. The legs below the knees are missing. The flesh is oddly discolored.
Sorry, I'm late to the party. I had to dump sand out of my shoes. Coroner Pierce, Miss Tuttle. So, our body amounts to about half a torso?
If that.
Female?
Clearly.
Brunette, not old.
I'd wager mid to late 30s. Your contemporary detective.
Can you estimate height and weight with only this much to go on?
Not precisely, but she was probably close to 5'6" and weighed around 120 pounds.
Okay, average then. Well, taller than average, maybe. Not waterlogged. How long was she in the water?
A day, 2 days, maybe less.
Can you tell how long she's been dead?
Oh, longer. Could be a week. Cause of death is not discernible, neither is manner of death.
I'm saying homicide.
Dismemberment is not necessarily indicative of a homicide, Detective Pike.
You mean she could have died naturally of a heart attack or slit her wrists in a suicidal frenzy, and then somebody did her the favor of hacking her to pieces? Until you show me a deranged and grieving relative with a meat cleaver, I'm not buying it. Could the severing of the waist be caused by a boat propeller?
No, this was done with a sharp blade and a steady hand. See? No jagged edges, which is what you'd expect from contact with a propeller in motion.
So this was done by someone with anatomical knowledge?
If you mean like a medical professional, not necessarily. Your average corner butcher would suffice. Her uterus is missing.
The killer took it?
If you're thinking along the lines of Jack the Ripper and his human kidney souvenirs, no. Her uterus was surgically removed at least a year before her death. That tidbit might help you to identify her.
What caused this discoloration of the skin?
There's no surface residue to test, but my guess would be chloride of lime or calcium hydrochloride. I'll know for certain after I remove a dermal segment.
Okay.
These are just guesses, as you know, Detective.
Educated guesses, Doc. You've got framed degrees reaching from the floor to the ceiling. I don't. Humor me.
He probably wanted to destroy the corpse with quicklime, but mistakenly used slacklime, which resulted in the opposite of what he intended. It acted as a preservative.
Then I'm looking for a dumb shit.
Oh, that depends.
On what?
On whether he gets away with it or not.
Jesus. Hell of a thing.
Yeah, pretty much line and verse out of the case file. You have a flair for recall, Pike. I'll give you that.
Always have. So that was the sum total of everything we knew about the erstwhile Lady Lake detectives. Never ID'd her. I personally checked out all 61 recorded cases of women missing between January and August 1934. You're too tall, too short, too young, too old. Uterus intact, or the lady in question was back home safe with the husband and kiddies.
You found more of her, though, didn't you?
We did. 2 days later and 30 miles away on North Perry Beach. A couple brothers, aged 11 and 13, they were digging in the sand with spades like kids do and uncovered something other than buried pirate's treasure. Mostly bone fragments. Part of a shoulder blade, partial spinal column, 16 vertebrae. 4 lumbar, 12 dorsal, if I remember correctly. The doc put the pieces together like a jigsaw puzzle. And a day later, near where the big piece was found, washed up on the shore at Euclid Beach, some other kids dug up a collarbone and another shoulder blade. In the end, not even a full torso in toto, more like buttocks and thighs with a few spare parts. We concluded that the killer had chopped her up and probably made at least 3 packages for disposal. He dumped her in South Lake Erie, from where we don't know, and when the wrapping dissolved, some of the pieces washed ashore. No shoe leather was spared, I guarantee you. We questioned everyone from Euclid Beach to North Perry Beach, and I had men tramping through the beachside sewers for weeks. No dice. Whoever she was and what little we found of her, he was buried in Potter's Field at Highland Park Cemetery. She's probably still there today.
There's no consensus that the Lady of the Lakes is one of the Butch's victims.
There never was. Not even back then. But nobody you ask is going to dispute that's when the nightmare started. Call it the prelude for what was soon to come.
When did Gus Frayne enter the picture?
Miss Mabel. Hey, when you get a chance, I'm ready for that peach cobbler a la mode, if you got it. My wife, bless her, she'd be mad as hell if she caught me shoveling a load of dessert in my gullet. Either of you fellas married?
Gus Frayne.
Like a broken record, aren't you, detective? I'll tell the story my way, or I don't tell it at all.
You're here on our dime, Pike.
I'm here out of the goodness of my heart, Antoinette. Back in Iowa, I've got hogs to feed and yellow corn to harvest.
Then move the narrative along, Pike.
Bottom line, all was quiet for a full year. I worked the Lady of the Lake case best I could, but everybody, including me, figured it was a one-off. Something we'd never solve. Till we found a way to identify her, we speculated that the victim was a murdered wife or mistress dumped in the lake by some prick of a husband or by her jilted lover. Then, about a year later, in September 1935, the butcher roared into town with a vengeance.
The body's at the bottom of Jackass Hill.
That's right. Specifically near East 49th and Praha Avenue. Kids made the discovery again. 2 boys heading home for dinner. 9 times out of 10, it's kids or dog walkers who stumble across a body dump. Doubt things have changed much.
That's the period of time you first met Gus Frayne.
And the famous Elliot Ness, come to think of it. Very fertile time for me socially, that ill-fated September. You boys know what Kingsbury Run was like back then?
Krauss does. He's a fucking amateur Cleveland historian. Creams his shorts over geographic details.
Then he'll appreciate how yours truly sets the scene. It's September 23rd, 1935. Pete and I get out to Kingsbury Run about 5:40 p.m.
Pete? You mean Pete Marlowe?
Mm-hmm, the one and only. Pete was the senior detective in the bureau. I was his partner most of the time. Did you know him?
Yeah, Pete was as pugnacious as a fucking bulldog.
He was. And a Dapper Dan dresser, too. Let me tell you, back in the 30s, his plainclothes attire wasn't plain, by any account. Summer and fall, Pete showed up to work in a light-colored double-breasted suit, wide-legged pleated pants, and a straw fedora. You know that actor on TV, the Richard Boone show, Harry Morgan? Pete had that kind of face. Half bloodhound, half film star.
He did. God rest his soul.
Okay, September 23rd, 1935. Not nightfall, but close, dusk. Shadows long. This part of the run was steep-sided gorge, severed by multiple rail lines. It was weed-choked, it was desolate, littered with trash, yellow newspapers.
A tramping ground for Depression-era hobos and itinerants.
Exactly that. 60 feet down was where all the railroad tracks crisscrossed. Nickel Plate, Erie, Cleveland Interurban Lines, veritable grid of iron rails. South Cleveland Badlands. I can still recall the smell. It was noxious. Urine, stinkweed, hot iron.
Ike's your kind of poet, Ed.
What the boys found at the bottom of Jackass Hill, they described a white meaty object, like a bleached side of beef. Only, God help us, it wasn't beef.
There's gotta be an easier way to get down there, Pete.
Even if there is, we don't want to waste time searching for a fucking pathway down a hill. Come on. Don't be such a sissy, Alvin. Jesus Christ. It's gotta be at least 30 people milling around the crime scene.
It looks mostly like uniform CPD. They're all staring down at something in a clump of weeds.
The big crowd of rubberneckers over there ain't cops.
Hobos. Most are probably living rough down in the run.
Degenerates.
Almost doesn't necessarily mean degenerate, Pete.
Tell that to my ever-loving nose. Stinks to high heaven down here. Detectives Mirlo and Pike. Cleveland PD is taking the case.
Lou Fordham, Erie Railroad Police. Be my guest. I'm not going to get this side out of my head anytime soon.
Jesus. Pike, don't squat on top of it.
He's freshly dead.
And buck naked, except for his black socks.
Black sure stands out against pale skin, doesn't it?
Pale from blood loss, I bet.
The poor slob's missing his fucking head.
Yeah, he's missing his penis, too.
I noticed that. Thought alone made my buttocks clench.
There's another body over here.
Holy mother of God.
About 30 feet, give or take, from the first.
You think these two murders are connected?
Nude, headless, and emasculated. Hell, I don't know, maybe. This one has no socks, so maybe we're looking at two killers.
Pete, take a closer look at this.
I'm not gonna stick my fucking face near that thing.
Use your handkerchief to cover your nose and mouth, then the flies won't crawl up into your nostrils.
I see it. Liver mortis.
No, this isn't the right shade. Liver mortis is purplish. This discoloration is more color of rust. And it's everywhere on the skin, not just where the blood settled. Some kind of chemical, maybe? The lady of the lake had chemical discoloration, too.
That was a female torso dumped in the lake 1 year ago. This is two men half buried at the bottom of a ravine. As different as night and day.
And I'm reserving judgment.
You do that. What's important in the here and now is as clear as day. The decomposition's more advanced in this corpse than it is for his buddy over there. Even the fucking flies can attest to that. These two weren't killed at the same time.
Not even close.
But they were probably dumped at the same time. What does that tell you, Alvin?
Not just two murder victims, but two separate murders.
We're looking at a degenerate sex thing, Alvin. You don't slice off a man's cock to rob him. Decapitation? Maybe. But you leave a man with his dignity.
Yeah, unless you're trying to rob him of his dignity. Humiliate him.
One, I might buy. But two victims? Days or weeks apart? It's a degenerate sexting. Habitual. Our killer will be in that ragtag group of bums over there. Getting off watching this. Thinking he's smarter than us. That he's got away with it. That's how sex degenerates think. All ego and perversion. Round them up! Every one of these filthy bums. We're bringing them all back to the station.
Your patrol cop found one of the heads.
Over here. Found the other one.
Jesus Christ. What kind of sick bastard are we dealing with?
I'm afraid we're about to find out.
Crooked River is created by Dave Beasley and Cassie Wells. Starring Zachary Ray Sherman, Jeff Tendall, Miles Sullivan, Andrew Garrett, Albie Selznick, Stephanie Myers, Levi Petrie, Joseph Covino, Glenn Payne, Nate Ward, Taylor Jury Scorse, Jessica Andres, Dave Huber, Gail Trudeau, Raphael Goldstein, and Alexandra Vaughn. Post-production sound by Joe Morales and Elf Tree Studio. A Haywood production.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.